I want to talk just a little bit along the line of holiness. Without holiness, no one shall see God. If you tell me that you're saved, your desire is to be like Christ, to be holy as He is holy. Not that we will grow up into perfect perfection. I don't mean that. Because we will not be perfect in ourselves in this flesh, not until we get to the pearly gates. But there is a growing into that state of holiness as the Holy Spirit works in the heart of a believer. There is that state of holiness that's taking place in that individual's heart and life. That individual is amazed many times when he looks back over the years. I know I am. When I look back since 1952 and see how the Lord has graciously and mercifully has broken many things in my heart and life that used to bother me so much, that used to grieve the Holy Spirit, that would confuse me so much. And oftentimes I'd cry and I cry because of this and because of that. Now I know in salvation the Lord breaks the power of sin, which means that the power of sin cannot condemn you no more. It cannot hold you under its power and under its death penalty anymore. When God saves you, He saves you. He breaks that power, that hold that sin had upon you. That sin that dealt the penalty to you, that the soul that sinned it, it shall die. And God released you from that power of sin. He set you free from the power of it, where there's no condemnation of it anymore. But there is the sin that daily, monthly, yearly, of the dying of the old man that the Holy Spirit in His gracious way of dealing with a soul is gradually breaking the things of his life, the things that have bothered him so much, those besetting sins that have beset him around so much. Oh, and the Holy Spirit just graciously delivered him day by day, year by year, breaking it, until He fashions that individual, that sinner, more and more to conform with the Lord Jesus Christ, like Him. What does the Lord break in salvation? Now, if you're saved tonight, you know, especially if you were a rebellious sinner, and rebellion is the prevalent sin of today. There's rebellion, there's lust, there's covetousness. In salvation, God breaks the sin of rebellion before you ever get saved. He breaks that sin of rebellion, those manifested sins of the heart, that which rebels against God Himself, against His holiness. And when you come before Him, when He gets ready to save you, and if your heart is filled with all of that, and many hearts are, some in open rebellion, the Holy Spirit begins to break that rebellion in your heart. And once He breaks that rebellion in your heart, the power of that rebellion is broken once and for all. And if you're living in a state of rebellion, and you tell me you're saved, and you are rebelling at God's message, and you're rebelling at His Word, you're rebelling against His authority, I tell you right now, you know nothing about salvation by grace. And that's true. You know nothing about salvation, because no believer will rebel against God's authority, against God's Word, against God's leadership, and His sympathy will always be on the side of truth, on the side of Christ. That's the same way with jealousy. That's the same way with pride, prejudice. God breaks it in the heart. It's gone. That life is being prepared for a life of holiness. And where rebellion is, there's no holiness. Where pride is, there's no holiness. Where there's prejudice or malice or envy or jealousy, there's no holiness there. There's nothing but deceit, bitterness, the gall of bitterness, the bond of iniquity that has never been broken in the heart. But praise God when He breaks rebellion, when He breaks that in the heart, the Holy Spirit begins a work there of bringing that sinner to Christ, tearing him away from everything, from himself, from his self-righteousness, from all of his religious duties, just tearing him away from all that, breaking the power of it. That's the reason why a sinner cannot be saved in the part of Holy Spirit conviction. You just cannot be. And that is the missing note in present-day preaching. That's one of them right there. So because the believer's life, he bears fruits unto holiness. Without, no man will be able to see God. But the individual that will see God, who has had his beginning in salvation, and God breaking him down as a poor lost sinner, breaking and tearing him away from all of those Adamic sins there, those sins that were against God, transgressing against God's holy law, breaking them away from it. And that individual, God puts on the road of holiness, the road of righteousness. And that life is transformed. It's not reformed, but it's transformed by the working of the Holy Spirit within us. And that's what the Lord has been doing in my life for the past few years since He saved me. Oh, yes, we're tainted with so much sin, so much of the flesh after God saved us. But the essence, the power, it's broken, it's gone. It's never to live there. It's never to nest there anymore. It's gone. It's nothing but Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. It's gone. But then the Holy Spirit has to deal with our, like the daily sins that we commit, the outward sins, in drawing us from things that have occupied our time, breaking the power of those things in our life, the outward sins. Oh, when I look back through the years and I see what the Lord has done for me, and I see where those things seemingly have taken wings and gone away, there's no desire. God breaks the power. But in its place, He's filling that life with His holiness, with His righteousness, and satisfying that life, making that life content, preparing that life for eternity, that individual will be able to see God in all of His holiness, in all of His righteousness. You know, that's grace. I'm telling you right now, I never get through thanking God for saving me, praising Him for saving me. Don't you praise Him for that? Can't you praise Him for that tonight? And if your heart is filled with lust and is filled with rebellion, won't you ask God to break it? Don't live with it any longer, huh? How can you? How can you live in malice and envy and strife? It'd kill me. It would kill me. I couldn't live like that. Knowing that the old man has been put to death. Knowing that he's crucified with my Lord. And to let the old man usurp authority in my life and try to get me back under his power and his domain. But that's where the power of God comes in at. He cannot. For we are new creations in the Lord Jesus Christ. The old man has been put to death. We are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, not I, but Christ that liveth in me, that produces the fruits of righteousness in our hearts and lives. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's Christ that liveth in me, in you, our hope of glory, that produces the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of holiness. And if you're not producing that fruit of righteousness, then there's something wrong somewhere. The work of righteousness shall be peace. Now that's one of the fruit of righteousness, peace. Oh, the peace of God that passeth understanding, that keeps our hearts and our minds through the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of righteousness shall be peace. Some of you don't have peace. Some of you just don't have peace. You wake up in the morning, you go to bed at night, there's that rebellion there, there's that prejudice there, there's that malice, there's that envy. You get up in the morning, it's the same thing. During the day, no matter what you might be doing, it's still there. You don't have peace. And the Lord says, there's no peace, said my God, unto the wicked. There's no peace for the wicked. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. You find that in Isaiah 32:17. The work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Now that's the reason why the child of God, he has the assurance of his salvation based upon God's eternal word here. He knows the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ because that brings peace. And the effect of righteousness brings quietness to the soul. There's not that unrest, uncertainty. There is not there. Praise be to God, it's not there. An assurance forever. It's not assurance today and not tomorrow. It's forever. Praise the Lord. It's forever. And Isaiah 35:8 tells us, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. And all the people of God are going to be on that highway. The highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. Fools won't be able to enter. But wayfaring men. You turn to Luke in your Bible, in that first chapter of Luke, we see something here. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he had visited and redeemed his people. Look at that 68th verse of the first chapter of Luke. And had raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that he should save, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember the holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. First redemption, and then to save us, that we may serve him in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Let the world go by. Let the madness of the day go by. Let them drown themselves in it. But God has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation. And he has redeemed his people, that he would grant unto us that we be delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now let's turn to the sixth chapter of Luke. 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation he built a house upon the earth. He built it himself. He against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. But if the Lord build the house, unless the Lord builds the house, they that build it in vain. Now every tree is known by its own fruit. For from thorns men do not gather figs, nor from a bramble bush gather they grapes. Every tree is what? Is known by its own fruit. You remember this morning we talked about the Lord says, He is the vine and we are the branches. We are the vine, the believer. He is the vine and we are the branches. Now, let's turn to the 15th chapter of John. I won't keep you too long. The 15th chapter of John. And at 19th verse, if ye were of the world would love its own. The world has its own fruits to give you. And if you are the world, you're bearing the fruit of the world. You're living and eating and drinking from the world. And the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. And they do. They do because we are not of the world. The world hates you. They won't have anything to do with you. Because you are not bearing fruits of the world. You are bearing the fruits of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten you out of the world. And then if you turn over to Romans, the 6th chapter, we have somewhat just a little kind of a Bible study here tonight. You get you familiar with the Scriptures. In that 6th chapter of Romans, beginning with that 17th verse, but God be thanked that whereas ye were the servants of sin, ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now, yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Now listen to that. What fruit had ye then in those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then the 8th chapter of Romans 1 tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then Romans, the 11th chapter, the 16th verse. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now listen to that now. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Talking about the root there. The root. Now, where do you have your roots? Where are they? The believer. In the Lord Jesus Christ. He's holy. Therefore, if your roots are in the Lord, if your branches are in Christ, they are bearing fruits of righteousness, of holiness, because Jesus is holy. He's perfect. And we are imitators of Christ. Just as we were in the flesh, we were imitators of the world. We imitated the world. We followed the pattern of the world, the fashions of the world. We lived off the flesh of the world, off the flesh pots of Egypt, you might say. But now, it's different. We have our root in Christ. We are the branches. He is the vine. A root of Jesse. And praise the Lord that from that root springs forth righteousness and holiness. The old man, the new man is renewed day by day. The old man is crucified, but the new man is renewed day by day in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then again, if you turn to the 13th chapter of Romans, in the 12th verse, I'm glad you brought your Bible and you're turning with me. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Now you listen. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Now, how he wants us to walk. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in immorality and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Don't give the flesh an opportune time in any way to fulfill it. Now there's always the possibility, and there's always the chance that where you give the flesh an opportunity that you to fulfill the desires of that particular thing. And many times we have to deprive ourselves of many things that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and we don't give the flesh the opportunity to give us that chance to feed upon it. That's all well and good for the world, but not for God's children. That's the reason why you and I should be careful what we read, what we see, what we hear. Be careful in everything. Because it says, let us walk honestly as in the day. Not reveling, no drunkenness, no immorality, and wantonness. Not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust. Look to the Lord. Look to Christ. Feed upon Him. Feed upon His righteousness. Feed upon that faith He's given you, that everlasting faith, that everlasting salvation. Feed upon that precious blood that our Lord shed on Calvary's cross for you and I. Feed upon that precious blood, so precious, more precious than silver or gold. Precious blood, blood that cleansed me, blood that has brought me nigh, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses from all of our sins. Feed upon that. That's worthwhile. That's everlasting. Feed upon the righteousness of God. What He's given you to clothe all of that. Feed upon that. What a perfect righteousness. Just turn it over and look at it and see where it all come from and how it was appropriated to our hearts and how much love the Lord God of glory had for us that He would venture to send His Son into this world and to die for us that He might give us a righteousness, a perfection, to where we could stand there holy in His presence, adorned with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those are things you feed upon. Don't feed upon your unbelief. Don't feed upon your troubles, your convictions. Feed upon Christ. Feed upon Him. I believe if some of you would do that, you'd get saved quickly. But no, you won't do it. You're rather call on the phones. You're rather slander people. You're rather hold strife in your heart. You're rather make things uneasy for the pastor, for those around you. You won't feed upon the Lord. You'll run here, you'll run there. You got to run someplace. You can't get still before the Lord. Oh, won't you get still before the Lord? Feed upon His debt. What did He do for me? He died for me. Feed upon Him. The sacrifice. God's sacrifice. God's Lamb. Feed upon Him. That's what it means to adorn the gospel of grace. That's what it means to be transformed day by day, month by month, year by year. It's not looking at the part of the world, the flesh. It's not looking at this individual or that individual. It's looking to Christ, following the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Oh, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And I believe you did that. I think it'll catch on. Others will become aware of it. You are bearing fruit unto holiness, unto righteousness that God is pleased with, and you are being blessed because of it. I am. And I praise the Lord for that. I am. I'm just praising Him day by day, moment by moment. I'm just praising Him. I know where I'm going. I know one day I'm going to see Him in that perfect body He gives me. But these things that you feed upon in the world, you'll starve to death. Let's turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter. That's the fifth verse. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore who believe, He is precious. But unto them who are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them who stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But look at that ninth verse. But ye are a chosen generation. God has chosen us. Praise the Lord. You're chosen of God. A royal priesthood in the family of the King. Isn't that wonderful? And holy nation. A peculiar people. And what does that mean? It means a people of His own choice, of His own choosing, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who had called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now look what's on the other hand here. Who in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Love, grace, unmerited favor. And then he goes on to tell you, and I will close with these last statements. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers or sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation or your behavior honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, your fruits unto holiness, unto righteousness, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And then he goes on to tell us how to live under the government, the governors, and so on and so on, knowing that this is the will of God. You know, a believer, you find a believer, you find someone who knows the Lord, will behave himself in government, in the public, obeying the laws of this land as with much as within with possible within that individual, and not trying to obstruct anything, obeying the ordinances, the laws of our city and state and government. But you have people in the churches today, they think there's somebody come, and because they say we're under grace and we don't have to do anything, we don't have to obey man and the laws and begin to obstruct things. Well, the first thing you know, if they were caught, they're put in the jail. And they brought the law because it is all in defiance against God's word. And we are to obey. And that's one way of showing the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of holiness there, that we have come to obey the Lord, come to obey His word, come to have that new nature, that new spirit, that new heart, that great salvation, that perfect righteousness, and then we live accordingly in this world. We do. We learn to obey things. We learn how to respect laws. And we don't try to obstruct or break or condemn. And I praise the Lord. He's taught me a lot along that line too. I know one time I was going to Alabama years ago. I was going about 70 miles an hour. And I was passing another car on a downhill, which is contrary to the law. And the policeman, I hear a siren come behind me. And I tried to lie my way out, but I couldn't. But he finally convinced me that I was wrong, and I admitted it. I said I was guilty. But he was very kind about it. He could have charged me a whole lot of money. I had my family with me, but he let me go. But I learned a good lesson there. To be careful on the road or in respect to any law that has been ordained for our good. Because like he said, you could have destroyed your family. Do you know that? You could have killed your family. So the laws are here for our protection, for our good. And if we have learned obedience to the gospel, listen now, if we have learned obedience unto the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to learn how to obey the laws of this land and our governments. And we're going to learn to pray for them, and that the Lord may move through them to do us good, the Christian good. And that's so. Just like when I thought we were going to have a parade here last Sunday. Now, I know someone that was here who used to preach here. Boy, he thought he was somebody come. We had a Mardi Gras one day, and he went down to the... We were trying to circle around to beat the parades and everything. He got out of his car, and he went up to, he says, "I'm so-and-so. I've got a broadcast down there to make at 4 o'clock, and I got to get there." Well, he got there, but he sure left a wrong impression of this assembly, of this church. Last Sunday, I thought they had a parade out in the front here. I called the police station about, because I knew we were going to have services and the radio broadcast wouldn't be over till 12 o'clock. And I called him. I talked just as kindly to the police, and he understood. But I came to know that there wasn't going to be any parade. But I could have said, "Now look, we're having services down there. It's at 12 o'clock. We're on the radio, and we're going to stay there, and you're not going to do anything about it." Now what do you think? What kind of an outfit he would think that we had over here, huh? What kind of an assembly? What kind of a pastor I'd be? You have to show understanding and kindness if you want kindness dealt towards you. And he understood very much. He said, "I'm sorry." He said, "I didn't know that." He said, "Wait, let me check into it. Maybe the parade might not pass there." I said, "Thank you." He did. Come to find out, there was no parade here last Sunday. I praise the Lord for that. And it made some representative here in Algiers kind of up in the air about it. But he don't know how much I praise the Lord that we didn't have a parade here last Sunday. And where they had to move cars and everything out. Well, you see, we learn to live if we know the Lord. If we adorn the gospel of grace. If we know what salvation is in obedience to the Word of God, then we learn to live with our fellow men, with our government, and we praise the Lord for it. They, in turn, can do us good, and they have done us good, and they will. And I praise the Lord for that. Well, this was just a sort of a all-around message tonight. But I praise the Lord for it. But may the Lord search your heart. And if you're not living for Christ, and if you're not bearing the fruit of righteousness that leads unto holiness, and if you're still full of envy and hatefulness and jealousy and rebellion, I'd ask the Lord to break that, because that doesn't give any indication at all that you're saved. But it just gives you more, it leaves you in the bond of iniquity. You're roaring under the law. And that's not grace. Grace sets you free. Grace delivers you from that roaring, from that bondage, and sets you free in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then what do we have? In closing, let's read that 32nd chapter of Isaiah again, huh? "The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever." That's Isaiah 32:17. You read it. You meditate upon that portion of Scripture and see exactly what it means. The work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, now that's the effect of it, is quietness of soul, of spirit. You have a sound mind in the Lord Jesus Christ and assurance forever. And may God bless His words to your heart and to my heart and to you out there in radio land. Let us hear from you. Write to us and let us know how these messages are blessing your heart. And continue to pray for us and help us in the finance. Send your tithes and your offerings in for the continuous support of this ministry. It's God's work. He is leading, and I praise Him for it. As He's blessing your heart out there, you bless our hearts, will you? By writing to us and tell us that you're praying for us and support us, like Dr. Copeland said, with your pocketbook. And we're trusting that the Lord will move your hearts to do that. Our Father, tonight, thank Thee for Thy presence with us, for Thy Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts. Thank You for Your Word. We praise Thy name for it. And may the Holy Spirit be pleased to bless it and to use it unto the salvation of sinners, unto the edification of Thy people, all to Thy name's honor and glory and praise forever and ever. Amen.